Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's been an outstanding late spring for original miniseries, Catch 22, When They See Us, and recently, Doc Boot, The Boat, Hulu's expansion of the Oscar-nominated World War II thriller. Executive producer Marit Poulter joins me next live from Munich. Ever wish you could create a perfect lineup of your favorite networks? Well, if you have that wish, CoupleCore could be the answer. We'll learn all about it later in this hour from founder and chief executive Virginia Giuliano. And the Oprah Winfrey Network is off and running with new saga ambitions starring Robin Givens. We'll catch creator and executive producer Jamie Gittins top of the next hour. Also ahead, and now there's BET Plus and a new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a pre-order books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy first full week of summer to you and all. Happy to have you aboard for the program All About Television. First of 3 episodes we do this week. We have a 90-day edition for you, and it's jam-packed with some wonderful people who want to hear from you. So interact with us. Pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere you're catching us across the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, if you're shy about the phone, we got a chat room for you. It's already operating. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. 84 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and Marit Poulter will join us from Doc Boot live from Munich after these news notes. Well, let's dive with plenty of Plus services launching this fall via smart television sets and devices. Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, and now BET Plus. That's the name of the BET Tyler Perry Run project we featured in a news note last week. More than 1,000 hours of content will be available as subscription off the bat, with the monthly price still to be determined. Among the first original series of Plus we'll have will be First Wives Club, the movie adaptation originally earmarked for TV Land, then for Paramount Network. In a statement, Tyler Perry hinted that he will develop a slate of original new series, including unscripted and variety productions. No word yet on advertiser opportunities. Now before we get to our first guest, a pair of news note quickies, Warner Brothers has its new chief executive, BBC Studios America president, and former Viacom and Nickelodeon executive Ann Sarnoff. And Peter Noloff, the creator of the popular ABC series of Battle of Davis, How to Get Away with Murder from Shondaland, is developing a new series on Freeform. Close Up deals with a high school student out to expose the underbelly of her hometown. And that is news notes for today. In 1981, writer and director Wolfgang Petersen came up with one of the most acclaimed movies about World War II in any language, Das Boot, The Boat. It was later expanded to a miniseries, but as a film, it was widely praised for its performances, including its star-making turn by Jürgen Prochnow, and also the incredible claustrophobic camera work, which really puts you up front, close, and in your face with what was going on inside a World War II German submarine. The film received 6 Academy Award nominations, 2 of them for Peterson's writing and directing, and it is still the longest, it's still the most Academy Award nominated film made to a German production. It really is amazing. That's less than 30 years after Das Boot came. Well, Das Boot is now a miniseries, and it's an expansion of the original movie. Plus, it also involves more than one language. It includes people speaking in French and the people speaking in English, including the popular actress from the Showtime series Massive Sex, Lizzie Kaplan. Joining us live, an internet radio exclusive from Munich, is executive producer of Das Boot, Marit Poulter. Marit, congratulations. Welcome in.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is a pleasure. What's been the reaction to this new miniseries?
Sorry, come again?
I was just saying, what's been the reaction so far from people both on Hulu but also people around the world to this new miniseries version of Das Boot?
Well, it's been phenomenal, to be quite honest. You know, when we started, we knew that we were taking on a legendary film, and trying to do a series for that, at least from a German perspective, meant a huge deal of anxiety whether the people would love it as much as they did the original film, which obviously you will be compared to. But we've had great success in Germany, the UK, and Italy, where it first launched on Sky. And so far, the responses we've gotten from around the world, including the week that it's been out now on Hulu in the US, has been really phenomenal and positive. So we're excited.
When you saw the original movie, what excited you, A, about the film, and B, how it could be adapted into a TV miniseries?
Well, you know, I think that what excited me the most was the claustrophobia that it achieved. You know, you were really feeling as if you were inside that submarine. And ever since then, you know, I've watched a lot of submarine movies, but none of them really achieved the same feeling of you know, anxiety, claustrophobia, and dread of the water that is above and around you. And that was something that fascinated me, and that was something that we aspired to try to achieve as well with our series. I think in terms of what we wanted to do different, or what we wanted to do with our series, was expand on the character work, because the film itself, which is based on the book by Lothar Günther Buchheim, is very much you know, a story told from very few perspectives, and the characters have this one dreadful journey that you feel. And we felt that what we wanted to do was, now with the, you know, with a new era of television where you can tell horizontal stories over 8 hours, we would be able to go deeper in the character work, and also add a new element to the series, which is the story strand that we have added, which is on land.
How long was this project in development for? And along the way, were there any people concerned that, you know, what Wolfgang Petersen and his crew did was so phenomenal and so memorable that there's no way that we can expand it to the point where people can judge it on its own merit? It seems that the critics who have seen this, and I saw one critic review that said that this was as riveting an experience as the original film, but it was more than that. When you take it on its own, it was more expansive. As you said, we not only get to see the players under the sea, but we also get to see what is happening on the land.
Well, I mean, in actual fact, it didn't take us all that long to develop the show. It was probably from the time we first thought we wanted to do something with the title Das Boot, which Bavaria also did the original movie of. It took roughly 2 years to get shooting. So, in my opinion, a very, very short period of time for, you know, a show of this size. Yes, obviously, there was a lot of talk about whether we could take on this project or not, and that all started at the very beginning of development, when we discussed whether we wanted to do a remake, or whether we wanted to do a sequel, or whether we wanted to, what we ended up doing, something that was in the world of, just like Fargo, the series, is in the world of Fargo, the film. Das Boot is in the world of the movie, rather than being a sequel where characters that you've known from the film reappear in the series. This is a standalone series that, you know, holds its ground. People who haven't watched the film will be able to watch the series. And we feel that people who have watched the film will also find the elements that they are looking for in the series. And I think the way that we achieved that was with the opening sequence, where, you know, the opening sequence is very much a claustrophobic and gripping action piece. But then once that is over, and I don't want to spoil anything, we were able to take a breath and expand the story and do both the land and the sea story and actually connect the two. And so that when you're on land and following those characters, you want to be back inside the U-boat. And when you're inside the U-boat, you want to know what's happening on land.
Das Boot is the brand new miniseries from Hulu, and you can catch it Hulu if you have smart TV sets or smart TV devices. A lot of critics have seen this program. They love it, so much so that they think this could be any contender for 2020 in the primetime miniseries category. We have one of the executive producers with us. That's Marek Poulter. He joins us live from Munich this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 84 degrees at the top of the hour. First of three guests coming your way on our 90-minute edition of the show. And first of three shows we are doing this week. If you have a question or comment for our guests, make the phone ring, 646-652-2906. Jump in and be interactive with us. We really appreciate it. And coming up on Wednesday's episode, at this very hour, we will have the people behind the new series from Spectrum Originals that premieres later this week called Curfew. It's all about the world of street racing, and it comes on the heels of the big success of Spectrum Originals' first video on demand original series, L.A.'s Finest, starring Gary Union, Jessica Alba. We have the producers of that program on. I'm happy to say, if you haven't heard, it's going to go to a second season. We'll see if Curfew does as well. We've got executive producer Matthew Reed and the pilot director, Colin McCarthy. And if you're a fan of Showtime's cartoon show, Our Cartoon President, you're in luck. We've got the creator of that program, who's also been known for his work on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, animator R.J. Freed. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Moritz, another challenge to this program is that for the first time, we get to also hear other characters who are involved with World War II, those who speak French and those in English, and to Hulu's credit, we get the chance to hear the actors in their native language with the subtitles. I'm curious how much, and by the way, you also have American and I think a French production crew also involved in all different levels, from writing to being on the production crew. What was it like to pull that all together?
Well, I think that, you know, that the wonderful thing about storytelling today is that you can be authentic and real. And we felt that, you know, what would make this show real is if everyone that is involved will speak their own language. Obviously, finding the right cast to pull that off was a challenge, and the writing process was a challenge. So we had writers from the UK and from Germany working on this, so Tony Saint and Johannes Beetz were there, and we had obviously always a translator in the room and everything. And at the end of the day, what we did was we did a chart for each character. We looked at where they were coming from, what kind of schooling they would have had in terms of their backstory, and therefore what language they were speaking. And then we had a grid saying, okay, if this character meets that character, the common language that they can speak with each other is either German, French, or English. And sometimes we also said, well, the character doesn't speak very well French, but is able to understand the French, so the character will listen to the French, like in Lizzie Kaplan's case, who's playing a resistance fighter, an American resistance fighter fighting in France. She's able to understand French, but because her French is not that good in terms of her character's French, she decides to answer in English. And the French people that she's answering to hear it, understand it, but don't want to speak English back. So we had all sorts of different languages there. And we also had all sorts of different languages behind the camera. We have people from South Africa, people from France, people from America, people from Germany working together on the crew. The common language was always English, but multiple languages were spoken. We feel that this multilingual show actually creates a more realistic feel to it. And I'm very happy that Hulu decided to put it on the air like that with subtitles. And it's the same way as you can watch it on Sky in the UK, for instance, where they've also done that. And all I have to say is that the audience really love it that way.
As mentioned earlier, this was the movie that really launched the career of Wolfgang Petersen, not only in terms of the film itself, which he won Oscar nominations for writing and directing, but also his American filmmaking career, which included a wonderful children's film and family movie, The Neverending Story. Talk about Andras Prokoska, who is the director of your miniseries. What did he bring in terms of style and substance to the project?
Well, Andreas Prochazka is a wonderful Austrian director, and the films that he's done previously were films where he showed that he could direct actors in such a way that you were gripped to what they were doing, whether it was a big, expansive scenery or whether it was all shot within a room. He did an MOW, for instance, which was all inside a hospital room, inside a surgery room. And even though that's a very ugly and uninteresting environment, you were gripped and you were feeling like, yeah, I want to stick with the characters. I want to stick with what they are doing. And the way that he directs them is very low-key and real. And that was one of the qualities that we thought he would bring to the show. He also has a family of a lot of sons, and he felt, and this is something that he always says, is that, you know, he was thinking of his sons when he accepted the project, because he felt my sons would be in the age in which they would now be inside that U-boat. And he wanted to create something that would make them understand what it might have been like to be in the war. And I think that's what he actually achieved. When you watch the kids on this U-boat, and I say kids because they range from 16 to early 30s in age, you really believe that you're with them and that you're one of them, and that's what makes it so heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the parallel storylines. This takes place during the autumn of 1942, where you have the activity under the sea with this U-boat, but you also have a resistance movement going on land.
Yeah, so basically, you know, the story starts with the character of Simon arriving in La Rochelle, and Simon is played by Vicky Krebs, who was recently in Phantom Thread, opposite Daniel Day-Lewis, and she arrives there because she wants to be closer to her brother Frank, played by Leonard Scheicher, and just when she arrives, he is being sent on a mission with a U-boat, so she only meets him for one day, but he asks her to do something for her, which will pull her towards the resistance and into a situation that she can't control. She arrives being a naive German, having been born in Alsace and always feeling German, but being pushed outside. She believes in the cause, she believes in the German way, but she slowly and steadily understands that that's not the right way, but at the same time, she also figures out that the resistance, which is, acting more like a terrorist group than freedom fighters necessarily, might also not have the right answer to how to battle this war. So she is caught in between all sorts of worlds, and the world of the Germans. She's called by Hagen Foster, who is played by Tom Blachier, who you might know from Game of Thrones. And, you know, he falls in love with her, and now she has to basically battle those two worlds, the world of the resistance and the world of the Germans, and find her own way through the story. On the other hand, her brother, who's in the U-boat, he's a radio operator, is sent out on a very secret mission to exchange a prisoner of war with another prisoner of war, so an American for a German. And the American being inside that U-boat is obviously a catalyst for bringing out all sorts of conflicts and different sensibilities and the questions of, you know, who is he, what should we do with him, and all the rest of that. And in contrast to the film, our captain on the U-boat is a very young and inexperienced captain whose father was an experienced captain and who is supposed to follow in his footsteps, but is not quite able to do so. And so the crew inside the U-boat slowly but steadily starts to revolt against him.
You're hearing Moritz Coulter. He's one of the executive producers of the new miniseries, Das Boot. Expanding from the acclaimed 1981 film, which won 6 Academy Award nominations, the most ever for any German movie, a record that still stands nearly 30 years after this film hit movie screens all over the world. Rich joins us live from Munich, this half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Simon Adam, I'm with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us for our first of three episodes wrapping up this June 2019. If a question or comment for our guest and remaining notes with him, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later this hour, we have a brand new classic trivia question for you, and we think it's a real stumper. So let's see if we can get our second weekly winner in a row. We have a wonderful book prize for you, so stay tuned for that. That's later in the hour. And coming up Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, we'll meet a costume designer who has done some of the most unique shows involving some incredible costume work. Her name is Trace Field. You will hear from her Friday, 3 p.m. New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Maritz, a few months ago, the announcement came that Das Boot is going to get a second season. And is there anything you can say about how this second season is going to go? How will you expand that season from what we're seeing now?
Well, I mean, we're a little more than halfway through the shoot. I'm actually going back to set tomorrow to meet with Vicky and the rest of the gang. How will we expand? Well, I think that when you watch the movie, you will see where the last shot takes place, and the series where the last shot takes place, and we will pick up there. So that's one storyline. I'm not going to spoil it because people might not have watched. So if you have, once you have, you'll know there's a storyline out there that will expand on that. And then obviously we will have another U-boat story. The story that we tell in the first season, as I said, gets into a situation where there is kind of a revolt against the captain. And so that crew that arrives back home is in jeopardy because they might find out what happened and so on and so forth. They might get court-martialed, but they are going to be sent out again at the end of it. And we will follow their journey and a second U-boat journey. So we will have two U-boat journeys next year, as well as talking about what happened in France at that time, which is the start of things like smuggling Jews out of France and getting them into safety.
Has Wolfgang Petersen and his crew and Jürgen Prochnow and all the actors from the original, have they had the chance to see the miniseries? Have you heard any comments back from them?
Well, from Wolfgang, we haven't heard back, and also we haven't heard back from Jürgen Prochnow, but some of the other cast have watched it. Some of them came to our premiere when we had it in Munich, and they were very positive and loved it. Others didn't want to watch it. One also has to say that, because obviously for them it's a masterpiece that they were part of, and because they are not part of the new series, there was a slight feeling of, okay, we don't need to be, watching this. But overall, the reaction was very, very positive. And Andreas Prochaska, before he started shooting, contacted Wolfgang Petersen, and they talked about, how to approach this beast.
And you were telling before we went on the air that the miniseries has, while it's only been a few weeks available on Hulu here in the United States, that it already has won some awards.
Yeah, I mean, we were very fortunate. We won a couple of German awards, like two camera awards. I think that the camera work is excellent and it's well deserved. Niki Krebs has won a German award. She just won a Golden Nymph Award in Monaco last week, and we won the Shanghai Television Festival for Best Miniseries. And we'll have to see what else is out there for us.
You know, it just hit me, because of the fact that this is multi-language, even though you missed qualifying for the 2019 Primetime Emmys because the cutoff was May 30th, start of June, you may be up for, it's possible that you could be up for an International Emmy Award for the program this year, which is given out in November, and also
yes,
be nominated, because it's English, you could also be nominated for a Primetime Emmy next year.
Well, I am not 100% sure that it's possible to get both an international and an American Emmy. If that is the case, we obviously would be able to qualify for the U.S. Emmys. But, yeah, the international Emmys in November are something to look out for. In our opinion, New York is always worth the trip.
The miniseries version of Das Boot is a co-production of Sonar Entertainment, I can't say the second half of the name, and Sky Dutchland, which is Sky's German language television venture, a great co-production, and you can now see it in its entirety on Hulu. Remember, Hulu is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. And for more information about the series, here's where you go online, www.hulu.com. It's www.hulu.com. And by the way, it's also where you can find another great miniseries, Catch-22, which I have a very strong hunch will be in the running for a Primetime Emmy Award for Best Miniseries. If you haven't seen Catch-22 yet, it's extraordinary. Whether or not you've read the original Joseph Heller book or the movie back in the 60s directed by Mike Nichols, it's marvelous with wonderful performances by a super cast, including George Clooney and a whole lot more. And as I said, I think it's going to be a major contender when the nominations are announced next month. Marissa Polzer, executive producer of Das Boot, the miniseries on Hulu, thank you again for joining us live from Munich, where it is prime time down here compared to mid-afternoon here in the United States. We really appreciate it. Congratulations to you and everybody involved on a great launch here in the U.S. and around the world, and looking forward to the second season, maybe many more as well.
Thanks. Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on the show.
You're very, very welcome, Rich. Take care. Have a super week.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Rich Polter, executive producer of Das Boot, with joining us live from Munich. And again, if you haven't heard, the second season of this miniseries is now in production. Hopefully, it will run somewhere, Hulu, whatever, when it comes out. Probably in 2020. More tomorrow, televised coming your way, but first some fine words from the people at Audible.com. You know, Benjamin Franklin was a very special human being in the life of the United States of America, and you can find out all about him thanks to a new biography from one of the masters of biography writing, Walter Isaacson. It's called Benjamin Franklin, An American Life, and you can now get that as one of your free books when you sign up for a trial run at Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, inspiration. Not only do they have 180,000 titles to choose from, all different categories, but they have a growing number of titles from Audible Originals. It's the wonderful catalog of original productions, including off-Broadway, Broadway, and regional theater productions from around the United States and elsewhere, and one woman and one man shows. And the great thing is, you can now get two of those Audible Audible Original productions, plus another audiobook, free with your one-month trial run. Plus, you get great customer service for the fine folks at Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Remember, it's all available for you at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. So check it out now and hear for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Remember, audible.com is the proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival being held later this year. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program All About the Two. Delighted to have you with us kicking off the week. Hope your Monday is going great wherever you're listening to us across the country or around the world on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. More great guests coming your way in the hour ahead. If you have a question or comment for them, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And stay tuned for our next half hour, in addition to great guests coming up. We'll give you an opportunity to win the wonderful book, Identify Yourself, by Nightlife creator Stuart Shapiro. We feature this as one of our prizes last week or two in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week, and we had a winner last week. So we're going for a new question, and I think it's going to be a nice stumper. So put on your thinking caps, get your pen and paper out, and you might win Identify Yourself in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. When we come back, we will have that question. And we'll have as our next guest somebody that you might want to use their mentor for when it comes to fashioning the perfect channel lineup for you. We'll talk to Virginia Giuliano, and the name of her event she put together is called Cobblecord. So talk to us live at the Big Apple, as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com. Together they reach over 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR and Spreaker is your home for the Murder Master Music Show. Check it out tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, the Murder Master Music Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, Best of BTR comes your way also 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Tomorrow We Televise, 9th edition, kicking off your Monday and your week. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted with us, any place you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Wonderful guests coming away in the hour ahead. We invite you to be interactive with us. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And don't forget, in addition to doing this program, I also write a column about the world of television, where it's going, in MediaVillage.com. It's the great business-to-business website of media leadership. and you'll get great reading from the likes of Jack Myers, E.B. Moss, Ed Martin, Juan Ayala, Charlene Wiseman, and a whole bunch of other great people who follow the world of TV and media like a hawk. So check out MediaDose.com. Enjoy writing for them. I have a brand new column coming out soon. I'll be writing another one later this week. So check out my Miami Televised columns and a whole lot more at www.MediaDose.com. Our next guest deals with this question. How would you like to have the perfect viewing experience, which starts with having all the channels that you want and nothing else on your television set? Well, my guest ahead can probably do just that because she is putting in her venture out to do just that. It's called CableCord, and with us right now in New York is its founder and chief executive, Virginia Giuliano. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Simon.
Tell us how CableCord got started. Did it come out of frustration for you watching television, or what else led to its formation?
Sure. So I was actually at Showtime Networks for many years. I was in marketing and distribution, and I led the launch, the marketing launch of their streaming service. And this is when there were just really a fraction of the streaming services available at the time, but already I was noticing that we couldn't keep all of the information straight. You know, every service had a different lineup of networks, different devices that it was available on. The pricing structures were very different, the models. So a light bulb went off, and I said, well, you know, if we can't keep track of all of this stuff and we're in the business, then the average consumer is definitely going to need help. And I saw that on the horizon, there were going to be many, many more streaming services, and that has come to pass. So I came up with a solution to help distill this process of figuring out the right streaming combination and asking, you know, very simple questions of people to sort of help them get their hands around this increasingly complex world of streaming.
Incidentally, we have somebody who just came into our chat room. Welcome aboard at SimonApple04, which is at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. There's a question. Put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-296. And by the way, for this segment, I'd like to hear from somebody who actually uses CableCord and what your experience has been ever since. Virginia, how does CableCord work?
So the consumer answers a couple of questions about what kind of content they like to watch, how they like to watch it, meaning which devices they favor, what internet services they favor. Is it more broadband or is it more wireless, meaning mobile? And then most importantly, I think for most, is what is their monthly price range that they would like to spend on streaming? And, you know, taking all of those inputs into account, so it's four very quick inputs, we have a patented system that takes that information, crunches it, dips into our very complex database and says, okay, these are the streaming services that you should cobble together. So it's a combination of both free and paid services based, once again, on their inputs. And then we have information on each of those services, you know, that can help the consumer make the best decision. And in addition to those choices that we present within your price range, we also say, you know, you might also want to consider these. They may be out of your price range or they may not be in that initial set of choices, but based on your profile, you may be interested in this. And we find that that's really important because there are literally hundreds of streaming options out there, streaming services that are all, you know, very different. Many are excellent and many people have never heard of. And a lot of them are free, I should add, as well. So what we are hearing from our users is that, wow, we had no idea there were so many streaming services available. And, you know, the choices are a lot out there. But what we are providing, how we're helping is that we're kind of helping them sort of narrow down what works best for their circumstances. I always say that streamers are like snowflakes. none are exactly the same. Everyone has, you know, different tastes, different patterns of watching, different household makeup. So what's going to work for you as a combination is not going to work for me. So that's why this personalized approach, I think, is so important and will become even more important as, you know, all of these choices continue to explode.
And how do your users get the information? Do you send them an email? Do you send them something that they put on their viewing screen? How do you communicate with them?
Well, what we try to do, I mean, and just to put in perspective, we are a startup, so we are, you know, trying to do this in the leanest possible way, but we do have communication, you know, paths to our users through email, through social media, and we try to let them know when there are, you know, some major changes, for instance, in the streaming ecosystem. So perhaps, you know, a big price increase or a service loses, you know, an important network. So we're constantly, you know, letting people, making them aware of these changes in the streaming ecosystem so that, you know, we personally believe that people need to continuously reevaluate their streaming setup because, well, now that, you know, there's no contracts and people have been unshackled from you know, the long-term cable contracts, you know, why not? You're doing yourself a disservice if you are not examining your streaming mix on an ongoing basis, at the very least a quarterly basis, because, you know, what you're paying for in the spring may be completely different from what you want to pay for in the summer when you're out on, you know, you're maybe taking, you know, vacations, you're outside more, you're not streaming as much. So you might want to take another look at it and save yourself some money.
You know, and both of us know, that we have an incredible transformation of television going on because of smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And because they're constantly upgradable, we are seeing more and more, not just Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, CBS, All Access, et cetera, but we are seeing all these new programming services from Afro Live TV to Reverie to Gusto Television, whose chief was on our program this past Friday, Passion Flix, the Fantasy Network, Dust from Gunpowder and Sky. There's others in the pipeline, not to mention, of course, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, BET Plus that formally announced itself this morning that we have the news note on at the top of the show, and Warner Media, Comcast and Universal, and goodness knows what other terms are coming in. What interest level is there among not just the Hulu, the Netflixes, and so forth of the world, but also all of these new, for the most part, independent players in taking full advantage of what you're providing?
You know, Simon, what you just outlined is exactly why I started Cobblecord, because I saw that coming a mile away. I saw that it wasn't going to be just the skinny bundles out there. It was going to be literally hundreds of really interesting, wonderful little niche services, some mid-size, some bigger. And, there's something for everyone. And I believe that is really the vibrancy of the streaming marketplace, and how, you know, there's something for everyone out there. And, you know, some people are intimidated by all the choice, and I understand that. And that's exactly why we're stepping in, to try to help people get their arms around all that choice. I say choice is a great thing for consumers. Choice gives you power over your streaming lineup. It makes you aware of things that you've never seen before. So I think choice is great. But what we're trying to do is create this layer of technology that helps the average person navigate that choice and give them some parameters around how to digest all of these options out there and put some parameters around it. And then We also have some other paths through the site that, you know, if people are a little bit more savvy or you know, sophisticated streamers, we have some really cool search and filtering capabilities so that you can, you know, search on things that you're particularly interested in. If you, you know, don't want to come at it from the, hey, you know, tell me what works for me, but you have a more focused idea of what you want. So we have, you know, different consumer groups that we're trying to serve. But, you know, I think that the majority of people are still very frozen because they don't know where to begin. And, you know, they perhaps dabbled with one or two streaming services, but they are largely unaware, as you said, about all of those great options out there. And we want to act as a facilitator and a discovery mechanism for all of those wonderful hidden gems, if you will, that many people aren't even aware of.
Combo Cord is the venture. We are talking about this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise, and we have the person who put it together, former Showtime executive Virginia Giuliano. She is the founder and chief executive officer of this venture, and we'll tell you how on the web you can find out more details a little later on. Simon Appelbaum with you live from New York with Virginia, and all of you tuning us in, wherever you are, on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. 84 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and if you have a question or comment for Virginia, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0.8. We have another person just got into it. I would like to hear this half hour from somebody who uses Virginia's venture. Let me know what you think. I would love to hear from you. Make the call, and we'll put you on the air. First of the three episodes we're doing this week on Tomorrow We Televise. Got a great hour in store for you on Wednesday. We kick it off with the people behind the brand new Spectrum original, Curfew, an ode to street racing. We'll have executive producer Matthew Reed and the pilot director Colm McCarthy. And we will have the person that put together first the Michigan Animated Bits for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And now he is doing some great stuff on Showtime with our cartoon president. Animator R.J. Freed will be with us. That's Wednesday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific special edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised at this very hour. How many people right now are using Combo Cord, and do they pay anything? If they don't, how do you make money?
Well, Simon, we're a startup, so we don't really release our figures just yet. But suffice it to say that we have thousands and thousands of people who have, you know, used Combo Cord and use it on an ongoing basis. So, you know, we have our model right now is an affiliate or referral model. So we are working with some of the streaming services to get an affiliate fee for each subscription that we send to them, which does not affect our algorithms or our, you know, patented database at all. We need to maintain our, you know, our neutrality, and we are completely agnostic as to streaming services and platforms, because you have to remember people are also using streaming services across many platforms. So, you know, they might have an Apple TV in their living room and have a Roku in the bedroom and have a PlayStation box downstairs in the basement. So there are, you know, we are completely agnostic to all of that, and we are trying to help people sort of manage their streaming mix across all of those platforms as well. So we also have some advertising, and then we're working on a B2B play as well. So we're trying to expand and trying to, you know, be flexible in this very highly malleable space right now. It's very dynamic and it's very exciting, but, you know, with all of that, you know, adds complexity and complexity to the consumer, which we are trying to help, you know, solve for.
The latest Nielsen numbers, Virginia, suggest that right now the smart TV universe, which is about three-quarters of all U.S. households, smart TV sets and smart TV devices, is now watching upwards of 10 billion, that's B as in billion, hours of content and applications a month. And as you mentioned, we're now seeing all of these unique, independently made services like Apple Live TV, like a Gusto television, like a Passion Flix, like a Fantasy Network, et cetera, many of which we have covered on this program over the last 18 months, with more in the hopper. what kind of a benefit is this provide? Are you getting a sense that people are gravitating towards some of these networks, whether they are supported by subscription or supported with advertising?
Absolutely. I think that there's only one way to go, and that's up. I mean, I think a lot of people are saying stuff like, oh, my God, there's too many choices out there. However, you know, as I said, choice is good. It's about managing that choice. And when people are made aware of these really great streaming services, many of them are free, they are gravitating towards them. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of traction on the AVODs. So that means the ad-supported video on demand services. You know, there is definitely a ceiling in terms of how much people are willing to pay on a monthly basis for streaming, right? So, you know, maybe you'll cobble together like three or four paid services. You know, one is going to be maybe a streaming bundle. One will be a more niche affinity service, you know, could be any of the ones that you had mentioned before. And then they start tapping out their wallet on that. But there are a slew of really good ad-supported services that they can certainly supplement and, you know, have many different models, many different experiences. Pluto TV, for one, you know, it has that the grid system that many older generation viewers like and have become used to, the electronic grid. Programming grid, and you know, that's just one of many. There's you know, and some of them are more or broader, and they cover many different genres, but many of them are very focused as well. So, you know, there's so many choices, and what I find is the biggest challenge for people is just making themselves aware of them, and there's not one. Other than Cobblecore, not one real repository for all of that information, which will help people sort of, you know, figure out what works for them. And as I said before, it's not just about what works for you now, it's what will work for you. You know, you have to continually, you know, revise it and update it and see what else is out there. And that's the beauty of having flexibility and choice nowadays.
Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of activity on some other fronts. On video on demand, we now have Spectrum from Charter Communications, one of the nation's top cable operators, in the original filming field with LA's Finest. And this week, Curfew, we will have, as I said, the executive producer on the program on Wednesday, plus the person who directed the pilot. But you also will be shortly having Vudu, Walmart service, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices, get into doing original programming. And also down the road, Walmart has an interactive service called Echo, which may very well become an interactive TV service. So two questions on that. What about bringing video-on-demand services that do original programming for the medium? And what about ultimately getting interactive services involved? That's a time where it looks like interactivity is finally happening. It's no longer a case of... are we ever going to see in our lifetime? It's more a case of how fast does this medium grow and what directions does it go in?
Well, I mean, as you said, there's so much content, really high quality content out there. It's the golden age of content, and it's, you know, more and more of these services are investing in their own original content to differentiate, which makes perfect sense. And, you know, which once again, you know, there's the possibility of being a little overwhelmed, but, you know, having some help to navigate that is what we bring to the table. And things like interactivity that you mentioned, you know, I see that as another great feature that can be, you know, harnessed to target certain groups. So that may appeal perhaps to a younger demographic. So that's not going to necessarily appeal broadly across the board. And also, you know, there's many times in my history of of in media, you know, I've heard that interactive TV was, this was the year of interactive TV, but it hadn't come to pass. We'll see if this is the year. I think it ultimately, it has to serve the story. Does it serve the story? Is it necessary? Is it adding more to the story? Is it just a gimmick? We shall see. I think it's interesting, some of the new stuff that's out there. I think it really is going to be depending on the context, depending on the target, depending on the story, depending on the device that it's used on. So I think that there's a place for it. I don't want to get too bullish, you know, too soon. But I think it's definitely something worth watching.
This fall, we are going to see a plethora, it looks like, of plus-type services. As I mentioned in the opening news note today, come on, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, BET's Plus service with Tyler Perry, Warner Media, at least with a prototype of whatever they're going to do, and Comcast and Universal next year, and who knows who else is going to join them. What is going to be important to you about having these services work, no matter whether it's from the likes of a Disney or an Apple, or whether it's from an independent player?
I think that's hilarious. I am also getting a little tired of the plus moniker. It remains to be seen whether that is helpful, because, you know, maybe a little bit of shorthand for the consumer. You know, if they're seeing plus, they associate it with now, you know, the new sort of age of streaming. But I think that, all of these streaming services, all with really great content, are going to have, there's going to be a lot of share shifting. So what that means is that, you know, people will subscribe to one for maybe a period of time, then churn out and subscribe to another and go back and really start to embrace their new power of and their control over their streaming mix. And I think what we may be seeing is that content is king right now, and it probably will be for a while. But you're going to start seeing, I believe, things like user experience and certain features that maybe were not as prominent in the first wave of streaming take on more importance, and having, you know, more personalization features to sort of differentiate between them once, you know, the content becomes ubiquitous, great content becomes ubiquitous, then you go to the next sort of rung of, all right, well, what are some features or personalizations that could help retain consumers and or bring them back if they lose them for a period of time. So I think what you're going to see are those type of things floating up more, further upstream and of more importance.
One other arena that looks like it's going to start moving late this year, but certainly 2020, is the deployment by television stations of ATSC 3.0, the advanced transmission technology. It's going to allow them to carry more channels, more service than they've ever had. And all types of services, too, interactive included, and also multicast services going from, let's say, the ability to take four or five of these services, some of which they originate on the local level, to maybe carry as many as 30 or 40 or 50 of these services. Is that an area of expansion that you might look into, especially when these deployments start happening in a major way next year?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I would be remiss if I didn't mention that, you know, having people sort of supplement streaming services with a digital antenna is definitely a behavior that is growing, and so being able to sort of toggle between the antenna delivered content and streaming services is a great way to sort of round out your streaming or viewing mix. And so I think that along with, the new sort of technology that you're talking about will be a real growth area. So I think those two things will complement each other.
It's definitely a transforming world. One thing, personal thought, that I think everyone's going to have to realize is publicity has got to be stepped up among many of these services. You've got to get the word out to the public.
Totally.
And that includes getting the press involved too. And that goes, whether it's Apple or BET or Warner Media, just doing investor meetings or doing events like what Apple did this spring, where they basically did not let the press talk, ask questions, didn't have a press release coming out about who was involved with programming, will probably not fly. And I know, by the way, this week is very interesting that Amazon Fire TV is doing an event. It actually started last week here in New York. They're doing a Soho a demonstration of Amazon Fire TV, which is going to be for the public. And I think it's very interesting to see how Amazon does with that project.
Simon, I could not agree more. I mean, what I had seen and continue to see, you know, when I was still at Showtime and now, is that, you know, a lot of media companies, they invest in the technology, they invest in the content. And what they don't invest enough in is the marketing. And you know how the saying goes, if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, it does not exist. So that's what we're having, you know, a situation where, you know, there's a lot of trees falling and, you know, no one's hearing them. And that's partially what CobbleCord brings to the table, being able to surface those according to the consumer's likes and profile. But I also think that in the future, in the next year or so, the streaming services are really going to have to invest more in marketing and CRM, or, you know, customer relationship management, to make sure that they are doing the best they possibly can in not only in acquiring but retaining customers and possibly winning them back if and when they, you know, churn out to another service. And, you know, those who do a really good job at that will be the winners.
Incidentally, that Amazon event will be resuming this Wednesday. I will be there on Thursday morning when they open up at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and it goes through next weekend. So on our show Wednesday, we will let you know about that event. So if you're in the New York area, it's your opportunity to see what Amazon Fire TV is all about and what it does, programming and interactive services included. And if you want to hear what is up with CobbleCord, or maybe even become a user of their service, here's where you go online, CobbleCord.com, C-O-B-B-L-E-C-O-R-D, CobbleCord.com. Virginia Giuliano, the founder and chief executive of the – yes, go ahead.
One thing I just want to add to make sure it's clear, CobbleCord is totally free for consumers to use, and I don't think I made that point. But I wanted to make sure we did not forget to include that.
Okay, that's a great way to end it on. It's a freebie, so take advantage of it if you can. Virginia, thanks so much for coming on the program. It's a pleasure to have you. Good luck with this venture, and we'd love to have you back anytime soon.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. Enjoy the week.
You too.
Virginia Giuliano, founder and chief executive of CobbleCord, joining me here in New York. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row. And if you are first with the correct answer, you'll win a copy of the book Identify Yourself by the founder of Nice Light, who was on our program last week, Stuart Shapiro. And here's the question. Name the 1981 NBC dramedy starring the Smothers Brothers. That's right. In 1981, NBC did a drama series starring the Smothers Brothers. It was short-lived. And we want you to name it. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win Identify Yourself by Stuart Shapiro. All you got to do, if you have the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from, full name and address. So if you're with the winner, with the first correct answer, you'll get the prizes ASAP. So once again, it's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If you missed the question a moment ago, we'll see if we can replay it before the end of the program. If not, we'll have it for you first thing tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWT. And if we don't get a winner by our next episode Wednesday afternoon, we will have the question for you then. So remember, in order to win, you got to be in. To do so, and all the very best. We come back to Los, we go to Los Angeles, and we'll speak with the creator executive producer of Oprah Winfrey Network's newest drama saga, starring Robin Givens, Ambitions. Jamie Gittin joins us when we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradioandspeaker.com. 135 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Block Talk Radio is your home for the turtle and the hate. It's a very unusual program, and you can catch it at a special time, Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, The Turtle and the Hate, a very unusual special right here, exclusively on Block Talk Radio and Spreaker. And remember, best be to our 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised. Welcome in to those of you joining us at the top of the hour, wherever you may be, on Block Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Tommy Appleman with you from New York. Beautiful day outside, 84 degrees at the top of the hour. Can't wait till tomorrow when Midsummer Night Swing kicks off its latest season at Lincoln Center. If you're in the area, join in. It's one of the best block parties in America you'll ever find. Live music, great ballroom dancing, great people around. Should be a lot of fun opening night, and I hear the weather is going to be terrific. We have a really great guest, speaking of terrific, coming your way in the next half hour. We invite you to be part of the program. All it takes is a phone call from you. So do it at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, you're on Blog Talk Radio Speaker. Our chat room is still going. Simon Apple 04 by name. We have two new people in the room. So come on aboard, put your comments in the room or questions, or give us that call. And the sooner you do, the sooner you are interactive with us. That's SimonApple04, and you'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/television. And once again, don't forget, you connect those by using Facebook timeline. Click on the Facebook or blog or speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Last week, Oprah Free Network launched a brand new show. It's their latest original drama, and it's from the executive producer, Will Packer, of Girls Trip, and also some other great movie fame. He's doing a major movie to television as well over the last couple of years. And it stars Robin Givens in her first major role in a very long time and is getting a following. And joining us right now live from Los Angeles, the person who put it together, the creator, executive producer of Ambition, Jamie Giddens. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how's it going?
Very, very fine, thank you. And how are you doing the first few weeks in with your program?
I'm doing amazing, just taking it all in, just kind of watching my baby go off to college.
Oprah Free Network ran the promos for your show using the famous habanera theme from Carmen. And it sort of made you think that Robin Givens' character is a very ambitious Carmen-like person. Is that the way you framed the character, the lead character in your project?
Definitely. That's a very good analogy. We blend the Carmen music with Cardi B. So I think it's, a little bit opera, a little bit hip-hop opera. But, she's definitely a driven, dangerous woman when crossed who, basically wants what she wants and will do whatever it takes to get it.
The promo certainly made that clear. When did this project enter your mind? How did it go from creation to being on the air, on OWN?
So about 2 years ago, Yolanda Lawrence, who is a veteran television writer in Hollywood, reached out to me. She listened to my Daytime Confidential podcast, where I talked a lot about storytelling and my love for soaps. And she let me know that, mega producer Will Packer was doing a soap opera set in Atlanta. And she wanted to basically arrange a meeting for me with his head of TV, which she did. I met with Will and found out that he wanted to do a big splashy soap centered in Atlanta and dealing with politics. And, I kind of went home from that meeting and crafted what would become the Bible for Ambitions.
And how did this character that Robin Givens plays get shaped? You definitely see that she is a very crafty person, but knows herself. She's quite grounded in what she wants and how she wants to get it. And like you said, do not double cross.
Right. So Robin plays Stephanie Carlisle Lancaster, who is the wife of Mayor Evan Lancaster, played by Brian White. Stephanie grew up in a wealthy legal family. Her grandfather started the Samuel Perkins Law Firm, which is now known as Carlisle Perkins, and is headed up by her father, veteran actor Stephen Williams, who plays Stephen Carlisle on the show. And she feels that it is her time, that she has done her due diligence, and it's time for her father to hand the firm over to her the same way that her grandfather stepped aside so that he could run it. But her father doesn't feel that she's quite ready yet to step in his footsteps. And so Stephanie just decides to take matters into her own hands and go after what she wants. And at the same time, some old skeletons from her closet return to Atlanta in the form of Tyvus and Amara Hughes, played by Kendrick Cross and Essence Atkins. They're old friends from college who Tyvus was a lot more than an old friend. He was her old boyfriend, and Amara was her sorority sister who ended up with the man that Stephanie loves. So while she's fighting for her father's law firm and respect, she has to deal with this friend who betrayed her and the man that she once loved being back in her orbit.
Mm-hmm. Was Robin attached to the show from the start, or was it a case where she auditioned for it and voila, magic happened, and this is like perfect role?
She auditioned, yes. We didn't have any stars attached from the very beginning. We came in, both Will Packer and some of the other executives had worked with Brian White before, so we all kind of came in with him as a no-brainer for our Eben character, but everyone auditioned. So, yes, no, Robin auditioned, and she really just wowed us in her chemistry test opposite Brian White. It was incredible, and we knew we had magic there. Everyone auditioned for all the parts.
We're talking with Jamie Gittins. He's the creator and executive producer of Ambitions. It's Oakland Free Network's newest drama series, very soapy, very unique. And it stars Robin Givens. And it's on the Oakland Free Network every Tuesday night, including tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Jamie's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Happy with wherever you are calling us from or listening to us from on Blog Talk Radio, speaking the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Simon Abba, I'm live from New Weather, New York. We want to hear from you. So make the call happen, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up on Wednesday's episode of Tomorrow We Televised, that's in 40 hours from now, we will have the executive producer and the pilot director of the new Spectrum Virtual series, Curfew, dealing with the world of street racing. The executive producer is Matthew Reed. The pilot director is Colin McCarthy. They will both be with us. And then, from the popular Showtime series, Our Cartoon President, and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, top animator, creator, executive producer, R.J. Freed, will be along for our ride. That's coming up Wednesday, 3:30 Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jamie, once you get going, how do you make a soap work? You have to make it fun, obviously, stylish, but you also want to make it credible so that you hook the audience week after week.
Absolutely. So the soaps that I grew up on, Another World, All My Children, Knots Landing, these were shows that mixed the glamour and the glitz and the sex and the intrigue with topical, socially relevant storytelling. And that's what we set out to do with Ambitions. You know, you definitely have your fun, juicy, oh my God moments with the Stephanie character and some of our other characters that are really pushers, as you'll find out, especially starting with tomorrow night's episode. You know, the Bella True character is quite a firecracker, played by Erica Page. But we also, we wanted to balance that out with topical storytelling. You know, Rondell, played by Braylee Evans, is fighting against gentrification, which is a very big issue in any urban city. But, you know, we deal with, you know, what's happening here in Atlanta with the population boom leading to a lot of black and brown people being pushed out of their lower income homes as developers, you know, see a gold mine to develop, you know, condominiums and malls and things of that nature. So we deal with that in a very soapy way, but, you know, gentrification is a huge issue that's happening here in America. We also deal with the opioid crisis. I worked for the CDC for 10 years, and I, had the privilege of helping to market CDC scientific findings on the opioid epidemic, and that just really touched me that, you know, this so many people go in for, you know, because they're suffering chronic pain and they become addicted to, you know, this lethal substance. So we deal with that also within the parameters of our show. Stephanie Carlisle Lancaster is getting ready to file a class action lawsuit against Purefoy Pharmaceuticals, a ruthless big pharma dynasty headed up by Hunter Purefoy, played by Brian the Boz Bosworth from NFL fame. So that's, you know, we kind of have our Hatfields versus McCoys or Ewings versus Barnes, if you're a Dallas fan, rivalry between the Carlisles and the Purefoys. But, you know, running through that is the very real story of the opioid crisis in Atlanta. So, yeah, we definitely try to ground the series in real topics amid all of our soapy funds.
Mm-hmm. Would the opioid crisis a major plot line? Have you thought about tying in with a public service agency or advocacy group that's trying to do something about it?
No, that we didn't, you know, we don't have any very special episodes. Or, I mean, at the end of the day, this is a soap. It's a soap opera, and, you know, we're approaching it as such. So we didn't reach out in that regard. We do have, you know, another storyline that we're telling that is, you know, near and dear to my heart, which is this, an interracial gay storyline between Carly Lancaster, who is Stephanie's daughter, played by Kayla Smith, and Lori Purefoy, played by Christina Kirkman. And, you know, again, it wasn't like a, you know, you're not going to see a bunch of very special episodes or PSA-type moments, but, you know, as a gay man, I really wanted to explore, you know, a gay storyline that wasn't just about homophobia or some of those things that, you know, television has done so well. I just wanted to, you know, let this be like, well, what if it was Romeo and Juliet, but it was two women? And, you know, what would that mean for two women to fall in love as they are, you know, they're both members of warring families.
I'm noticing, by the way, Jamie, that we're seeing more television shows that have multiracial casts explore the subject of lesbianism. Black Lightning has a storyline like that, and they've run for a good chunk of the season. Other shows have. Obviously, Pose, the FX series that now is in season two, going to season three. It just seems that producers, writers, and directors have come to the conclusion of, yes, let's just document a relationship. We're not saying this is everybody, but let's just document a relationship and let the audience judge for themselves. As opposed to, you know, shouting from the housetops, oh, we have this relationship and this storyline.
Exactly. You know, we didn't, you know, soaps have broken great ground. You know, Agnes Nixon with All My Children, what she did with Bianca's Coming Out, and Brothers and Sisters in Prime Time with, you know, really showing Kevin as an out, proud gay man. So there's been so many programs that have already kind of broken that ground. So, yeah, this storyline, although we will deal with the fact that Carly is closeted at the moment and that Lori is a little more sexually fluid, pansexual, if you will, but they're not – these are not storylines that are about their sexuality. It's about – the conflict between two women of different races trying to deal with the fact that their families hate each other. And, yeah, because I think we, you know, we're beyond the coming – I mean, I don't want to say we're beyond. There's all, you know, there's always going to be need for coming out stories and all of the, and stories that deal with homophobia, because those are all still very real issues. But we kind of wanted to do something fresh with this storyline. And I have to give a shout out to Carla Gardini, one of the executives at OWN, who actually convinced me to make them women, because in my original Bible, it was two guys. And Carla was like, well, what if we did it with women? And I have to say, I love that we went that direction. And yeah, I'm really excited for people to see what we do with those characters, because I think it is very unique. There are definitely shows that are going there, Vita for one, which I love. But yeah, it's just human beings, you know, human beings trying to navigate a very complicated life and relationship.
And Simon Sanchez, who writes Vita, which has been renewed for season number 3, also is a marvelous talent. I hope that someday we will get her on the program because I really love Vita very much. It's a terrific show, great cast, up and down the line production crew and values, and Taryn just leads it in an incredible way. What's it been like for you to work with talent that's been around a long time in television, like Robin, but also like Stephen Williams? I've been a fan of this actor for a very long time, since the 80s when he was the captain on 21 Jump Street, and he was also featured in the first season of Equalizer, one of my favorite shows that really started the whole New York back in production movement with Williams, with Edward Woodward, the brilliant actor who I still miss tremendously, who I thought gave one of the great performances of all time in a television drama.
Well, I the entire cast, I tell you, yes, it's amazing for a lifelong TV lover like me to suddenly be, you know, working with Robin Givens and Stephen Williams and Essence Atkins and all of these amazing people. Stephen specifically, since you mentioned him, is hilarious. I, like you, watched him in a ton of dramas, so I kind of had this stern view of him, that he would be this stern, you know, kind of no-nonsense guy, because that's what we see him play so much. But he is just a riot on the set. The cast and crew and hair and makeup, everyone loves him. Robin is a sweetheart. I mean, when I tell you, it's funny because she's kind of made a career of playing these femme fatales. You know, I first really became a fan with the movie Boomerang, where she played Jacqueline, you know, just this gorgeous, you know, powerful ad executive opposite Eddie Murphy and Eartha Kitt. But she plays those type of characters so well, but she is the sweetest, you know, funniest one to meet, and a great mom and a good friend, you know, just really, you know, a lot of my veteran TV writer friends told me, whoever is at the top of your call sheet will set the tone for your show. And if the person at the top is a diva, you'll have a bunch of divas. If the person at the top is chill, you'll have a chill set. Excuse me. Well, let me just say, Robin being at the top of our call sheet, she set the tone and is, you know, the most gracious, you know, caring human being you could ever want to work with. Love, love, love her. Love working with Essence Atkins. You know, I love the fact that you guys are going to get to see someone who has spent pretty much 20 years playing in black sitcoms and being the funny wife and the funny friend, really get to sink her teeth into a meaty, dramatic role here. Brian White, who, you know, has been known for playing a myriad of roles, really gets to give layers in this portrayal of Mayor Evan Lancaster. A lot of people are tweeting, oh, he's playing another bad character. Oh, well, you'll just have to wait and see. Evan is not completely bad. You know, he has this immense love for his sister and father and daughter, and even Stephanie, his wife. I mean, it's a toxic, complicated love, but you really get to see Brian play a lot of different layers of this, you know, this guy who grew up with nothing and he married into wealth and privilege, and now he's trying to maintain that and keep his head above water. And yeah, I mean, it's just the cast is amazing. Our supporting cast, Gino Anthony Pesce plays Greg Peters, who he's most recently from Shades of Blue, and he comes in as our villain. But again, all of the characters in this show are really shades of gray. You know, they all have humanity. There's no one twirling a mustache, and, you know, and everybody just really comes to play and make it better and, you know, offer suggestions and take suggestions in a very humble way. We had a really good first season on set, and, you know, I can't wait for you to see what this cast of actors brings to this show every week.
One other point about Stephen Williams. Yes, he is a master of stern roles, and he's not one-dimensional about it. He will give whatever the stern role he gets, he always gives some unique dimensions to that character. It is never a stereotype, never. And that's
Absolutely.
What makes him a very special actor. And it's just wonderful to hear that we're seeing, like, some new dimensions to all of these actors who have been in television for quite a while. What's it been like for you to go from being a podcast host and producer to creating and producing your own television. I'm assuming this is your first. Is this your first time doing a television series?
It's my second. It's my first big budget television series. I co-wrote a series called The Rich and the Ruthless with Victoria Rao, the former Young and the Restless actress, that's on Urban Movie Channel. But, you know, that was a very independently produced project that Victoria pretty much financed herself in a lot of ways. So this is, yes, this is my first time actually being in a writer's room with a group of writers and, you know, having a budget and department heads and sound stages and all of that big Hollywood razzle-dazzle that comes with it. Although I say Hollywood, but it was actually here in Atlanta at Tyler Perry Studios is where we filmed. But, yes, this is definitely my first big time at bat, if you will.
Absolutely. And I should have mentioned that you're going to fly from Atlanta, which has really become, over the years, a huge production center for television with what you're doing, what Packer's doing, Tyler Perry, the Weather Channel, Byron Allen now, who runs that service. A lot of people are making The Walking Dead. A lot of people making Atlanta their home. So I just wanted to just offer that.
Oh, exactly.
Well.
Yeah, Walking Dead actually – The Walking Dead was actually shooting while we were filming Ambitions. We both were filming on Tyler Perry Studios. So, yeah, there'd be days when I was driving to the writer's room and, you know, there would be zombies walking across the street. I'd have to reroute myself because they were shooting, you know, right on the streets of, you know, and there would be all the extras dressed up like zombies. So, yeah, it was wild. I mean, Black Panther shot there, P-Valley, the new Star show. You know, Tyler has really, you know, opened up his studio for a lot of different productions, and we're all grateful to have it, to have that space.
And he's got a bigger studio that's going to be launching this fall, and the former studio is now with the Aru Brothers, and they're getting ready to do, I think, some major moves in television. So, by the way, Victoria Rao was on our show when she started The Rich and the Ruthless. She was a pleasure to have her on. I've known her for years. I met her when she did a NAMIC event here in New York many years back. She's a marvelous talent, and I'm thrilled that show and some other things she's
Absolutely.
Done since have done very well on her movie channel. We'd love to have her back on anytime.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's a great, great person, a big mentor, and, yeah, someone who took a chance on me when I was just a blogger and a podcaster. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in every step you take helps you achieve your end goal.
Yeah. By the way, one more thing about Perry before I ask you one more question. What he said at the BET Awards last night, own your way. More and more people should go that way. I thought what he said last night was magnificent, absolutely magnificent, about where we ought to go in terms of creating more quality television, especially involving more women and people of color. Just own your way. Make it happen. Just do it.
Yes, I love it.
Jamie,
I was, like everyone else watching, I was super inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I was
yeah.
just saying, like everyone else watching, I was super inspired by that speech and taking notes.
Absolutely. One more question, Jamie. If you get a second season of Ambitions, how do you want to expand from season one?
So, well, without giving too much away, we definitely end the season with, you know, it is a soap opera, so we end with quite a few cliffhangers. So, just talking in broad, I want to really delve into the Amara-Stephanie relationship. And, you know, Stephanie is the only Carlisle sibling that you'll meet this season, but the other two, Adrian and Samantha, are mentioned. And, yeah, I look forward to bringing them on. And, you know, I'm an old believer of, in terms of soap opera, tying it to the core. So, you know, bringing on new characters who can, you know, intermingle with the Carlisles and the Lancasters and the Trujillos and the Hughes in meaningful ways. And, you know, and keeping it tight to our core six or seven people, though, because I think a lot of shows make the mistake in season two of you know, getting too guest star crazy, but, you know, there are definitely some characters who are mentioned throughout season one that we want to bring back and do more with. One is Jerry Lanigan, a hotshot lawyer that you'll meet near the end of the season, who's played by Rick Hurst, who is super familiar with daytime soap fans. We had a ball with him. And so, yeah, we want to do more with if that's what you'll see, you know, some of the people that you see in season one that, you know, we had for an episode or two or three episodes, we want to bring them back and do more with them and just, you know, really tell fun, juicy, oh my God moment soap opera storytelling.
And those moments continue tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific on the Oprah Winfrey Network with the latest episode of Ambition. Check your local news for where the Oprah Winfrey Network is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, go to www.own.tv. That's www.own.tv. Ambition, executive produced in part by Will Packer, produced out of Hotlanta at tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Jamie Gibbs, the creator and executive producer of the program, thank you again for joining us. It's been a delight having you on. Good luck with you and Robin, Steven, the rest of the cast and crew. Hopefully this first season that's currently on, beginning of a great long run.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Jamie. Take care. All the very best. Have a wonderful week ahead.
You too. Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jamie Gibbs, creator, executive producer of Ambitions on the Oprah Winfrey Network, joining us live from Atlanta. Wow, what a great 90 minutes for you. And again, I hope you catch the BET Awards in replay because what Tyler Perry said last night, own your way. That's my new mantra. Absolutely. Next, tomorrow we televise, coming your way on Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now, we'll have Matthew Reed and Cole McCarthy, the executive producer and pilot director, respectively, of Curfew, the new series premiering this week on Spectrum Originals, video on demand all over the country. And from our cartoon president on Showtime, the creator executive producer of that animated deal, R.J. Free. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3 minutes to the Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. The next time, we will hear you. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. Anytime you want to check out our podcast version, it's available 24/7 at iTunes, at Apple TV, Speakers Podcast app, and of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Just go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, click, and you're in. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? Love to hear. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's how you get involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And remember, we're also available 24/7 on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Love hearing from you, so please let us hear you. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and iHeartRadio. Our production associate BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR, Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company, and partner development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free or great audio books, 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Hope your summer is off to a great, great start. And have a great rest of your day. Remember, we're back Wednesday, special edition, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And if you're in New York City, tomorrow night, Midsummer Night's Wing, Lincoln Center, I'll be there. You'll be there, too. Love to dance with you. It's going to be a big block party for America. So remember, whatever you're up to, whether it's Midsummer Night's Wing or something else between now and Wednesday afternoon, make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.